everything in its right place. The papacy is the necessary keystone in the arc of Christian unity, without which the whole structure would inevitably collapse. It's G.K. Chesterton. God is a builder. He's a creator. And as a builder, he's always forming and shaping and testing. If you build something, you test it to make sure it's strong. And he's doing this always in you. That he's building a strong foundation in you. First of all, in your identity. Who you are. That who you are is based solidly and grounded solidly first in who he is, his identity. And that this is the heart of faith. Knowing who he is, and in light of that, founded on that, who you are. And that in this, the Lord is always working and shaping within you. He's forming everything he uses in your life. Every grace, every consolation, every desolation, every joy in your life, every sorrow, the Lord is using that to form within you a solid faith on him working within you. But he does this for a purpose, so that you might know your mission. Not just who you are, but what you're called to do as well. What you're called to do within his church. This is the Lord not just working within you, but working now through you. That he's forming and he's shaping his kingdom in this world through you. The Lord is working in you and through you. In our psalm today, it's beautiful. There's a line, "When I called you, you answered me, O Lord. You built up strength within me." Did they meet the Lord when we call to him in prayer? He doesn't just, "Oh, here's the grace of strength. Here you go." No, he forms it and shapes it and builds it within us because he's creating. He's always creating. And this is what he's doing within you. This is what he's doing always in all of his disciples. Last week, you remember the Canaanite woman. He's testing her faith. He's forming and shaping and strengthening it. And he's at the same time doing that with his apostles, who are the foundation of his church that he's laying, strengthening their own faith. And he's doing within today's gospel, setting this key cornerstone, the head of his church. The church is a living body. It's a body that's alive because it's the body of Jesus Christ. And a living body, as St. Paul talks about all the time, right? It has many parts. But the body without a heart, it's lifeless, it's cold. A body without its hands is not able to heal, it's not able to serve. But a body without its head, when you cut off the head, it's dead. But the head, think of the purpose that it serves within the body. It unifies and leads all of the rest of the body. The heart doesn't dictate what the foot does. It's the head that does. It's the head that leads, and the head unifies all the rest. And this is the papacy. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people identify me as? What is my true identity?" All sorts of answers, none of them right. "Simon, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. This isn't you figuring this out. This is divine revelation. my heavenly Father has revealed this to you. That Peter, Simon Peter, received this divine revelation. And so Peter, Simon Peter, is given this new identity. He identifies, you are the Christ. That is who you are, Jesus. And Jesus says, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. His old human identity is he is Simon, the son of Jonah, as Jesus first refers to him as. That's his human origin. But now he receives this new identity, this one that is divine. You are Peter. You are rock. It's a divine identity because it's shared with God. The Old Testament, all the time, the Lord is referred to as the rock, 40 times. Every morning, those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, they wake up and they refer to the Lord as the rock. Psalm 95, come let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. And the Lord, the rock, now refers to this man as a rock. That he shares with him his divine power, authority, responsibility in being the rock. If you allow her to share with you a small little nerdy detail, it's super nerdy, but it's really cool. So, in Greek, the word for Peter is Petros, and the word for rock is Petra. So in classical Greek literature, like in Homer, the word Petros means a small rock, which is a part of a great and tremendous rock, a Petra. And so Peter here is, if you will, like a chip off the old block. But he's not chipped off, he's united. He's this smaller rock that's united to this great, tremendous rock. That you, Jesus is saying, you are the Petrus of me, the true Petra. That the church, as everything in creation, right? God creates, we pray in the creed, that God the Father Almighty is the maker of all things visible and invisible. God doesn't just create what we can see, he creates what is invisible as well. That we're surrounded by much more creation that is invisible to our eyes than even what we can see. And the church, which is the body of Christ, is both invisible and it's visible. And the invisible church has as its foundational stone Jesus, who is the rock. But the church, which is visible, has as its foundational stone its visible leader in Peter, the rock. Upon you, Peter, Petrus, I will build my church. He's going to build his church on Peter. And that same word, build, is used in Genesis. That same verb that the Lord took from Adam's side, a rib, and he built from that rib, he formed and he shaped who? Eve. Adam's bride. And when Adam sees this person that had been built from his side, at last, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, at last, Adam has someone to help fulfill his mission, someone he can die for, a mission he failed in. But the new Adam, Jesus, does die for his bride, this church that he's forming on the rock of Peter. He dies, and from his side comes forth the blood and water, which gives life to his church. He's forming the body of it, and now all the power of the life of God from the blood and water which pours forth from his side, the side of the new Adam, comes the life of the church, which he had been forming and shaping, and he had given as the head of it to this man, Peter. In a marriage, you know, the two become one, right? They remain two persons, but yet they're one in flesh. And in a true sacramental marriage, a spouse's identity is so tied up in their spouse that you can only truly identify one with the other. So who Jesus is can only fully be understood in understanding who the church is. You don't fully know who Jesus is unless you know who the church is. And you don't have a clue who the church is unless you know who Jesus is. As he asks, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? To be Catholic, which is who you are, to be a Catholic is to be held together as one body by our head, Peter. That is to say, the Pope. Scott Hahn, who himself is a convert to the Catholic faith, he was a Protestant minister. He said that every single Christian has a Pope. Every Christian has a Pope. Either it's the Pope in Rome or it's the Pope at home. When you break away from the head of the body of Christ, what happens, sadly, is that you keep fracturing and you keep crumbling. So when a church breaks away from its head in Rome, it'll just keep fracturing again and again and again and again. And then you have 5,000 denominations. It's the Pope who gives unity to his church. One of the coolest experiences, it wasn't the most important or anything like that, but it was the coolest experiences of studying in Rome, was when the new Pope was elected. We were in St. Peter's Square on a rainy March night, and we were looking for smoke signals. Because you know how it works, right? The cardinals are voting in conclave, and then they burn the ballots. And if the smoke comes out and is black, there's no Pope. But if the smoke comes out and it's white, there's a new Pope. And so we had been there four times before. And each time we're sitting there watching, everybody's watching this little chimney over in the Vatican Museum, Sistine Chapel, black smoke. Oh. So you go home and you come back. And this evening, though, there was white smoke that came out. And it was like electricity moving through the thousands of people who were there. And we were filled with immense joy and jubilation. Even though we had no clue who the Pope was yet. That wasn't the point. The chair of Peter had been filled. And even when it was announced, Habemus Papam, and Jorge Bergoglio came out, we still didn't have a clue who the Pope was. No one had heard of this man. But it didn't matter. It doesn't matter as much who the man is. It's the chair of Peter that had been filled. And this is why we were filled with joy. Because the chair of Peter had been filled, and he is the source of unity, and he's the one who leads us as the body of Christ. All the popes, Pope Leo, Pope Gregory, Pope Pius, Pope John Paul II, and many others, they indeed die, but Peter lives on. Peter lives on and is protected by the Holy Spirit in our prayers, and he lives on for a mission in leading the church. And his mission is what Jesus gives here, that Jesus builds his church on Petras, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. His specific mission is to keep divine revelation, which Simon received, right? It's not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, right? It's my heavenly Father. It's to keep divine revelation and our faith, who God is, who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's doing in the church, all of that It's to keep that free from error in the teachings of faith and morals. But it's not merely a mission that's a defensive one. Because the Pope leads as well, and he leads with the keys. And it's the gates of hell, notice, that are under attack. It's the church that is the one attacking and pushing out the darkness. It's the power of God alive in his body, the church, which is bringing the light of the gospel into the darkest corners of the world. It's bringing the light of the gospel into the darkest corners of every human soul, pushing out the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's the light, the church, that is attacking the gates of hell, pushing out the darkness. And that this is the mission of the church with Peter as its head. And you have a role to play in this, in the church. Whatever part of the body, whatever part of this body which is held together and led by our head, the Pope. And so pray for the Pope each day. Make sure you're praying for the Pope each day. We pray for him at every Mass. Pray for Francis now, and whoever is elected to the chair of the Peter after him. The Pope is this gift that's chosen and given by Jesus to his church for the unity of his church and for the unity, indeed, of the entirety of the Christian faith. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall never prevail against it.